All right, let's pray. Our dear and heavenly Father, we are so grateful to once again be in your presence this morning. And now that we are about to hear from you, Lord, we pray that you may open indeed the eyes of our hearts so that we may get to see the things that you want to teach us again this morning. Father, I pray that your word may bring life to our souls, may quench our thirst for you, O God, and that your word may reveal more of you to us, O God. I pray for myself, I pray that you may use me, and that your river of living water may flow through me, O God. I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing as we read our passage for this morning. Remain standing, please. So we are in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm starting from verse 26. I'm reading in the New King James Version. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. We may be seated. It's an honor and a pleasure to be the one sharing the word of God with you again this morning. And as we have read our passage of today, my assignment is really to preach from the story of creation. And I was supposed to preach from the whole chapter, but it's too long for us to read. So we are just going to look at some key things from that passage that will help us understand more our image in this God who created us. So the title of our sermon this morning is "Created in the Image of a Holy and Loving God." Created in the image of a holy and loving God. So this week, as I was scrolling online on Twitter, I came around a picture that was circulating and was creating a buzz. People were having a lot of conversation about that picture. I hope the media will be able to project it for us on the screen. Yes, that's the picture. So as you can see on that picture, we have the Lake Kivu, and it has recently changed its color. As you can see, it has this beautiful shade of blue, I think. It's blue-green, something like that. And so many people who are outside of Congo, when they were looking at that picture, they thought it was the Bahamas. And we had to convince them that this is Goma, and the lake is actually becoming more beautiful than it was before. And they told us that this happens because it's the blooming season of the algae. So that's why the lake takes that beautiful color. And so there were so many people from the outside who were like, "Wow, I wish I was there to see it with my own eyes." The thing is, we are so stunned by beauty. We are attracted to beauty. And when we see something beautiful, we just want to admire it. It's deep within us. And apart from that, we are also able to create some beautiful things. And I just took a list of some beautiful monuments in the world that were created by men. Example, you have the pyramids in Egypt. For 3,800 years, these were the highest construction made by human hands, the pyramid, for 3,800 years. And so it's really beautiful. Those guys look at the sun in the desert and were like, yeah, we can make some big tomb with this one. So they created the pyramid. And you have the Burj Khalifa. That's in Dubai. It's one of the highest buildings in the world. We have things like the next one is the Eiffel Tower in Paris. It's one of the most beautiful things created by human hands. We have the Liberty Statue in New York. It's also something really beautiful that was created by human hands. We also have, yeah, of course, I needed to find a local example, of course. Yeah, we have the Chukudu, a roundabout here in Goma, and we couldn't pass by that one. And so you see, you can see that as human being, deep within us, not only are we stunned by beauty, but we have that ability to create beautiful things. And the question we may ask is, how did it come about? How come we have this ability? And although we have that ability, we have it with a certain limitation though. We can modify existing matters, but we cannot create even any particle of it, right? We can only modify matter, but we cannot create it. And so how did it come about and how are we that way? And so the Bible gives us a story that gives us explanation of where that comes from. And I love stories because stories help us understand the reality that we are living in. Stories help us get sense of what is happening and even understand more the context and our own story and understand even who we are and what we are here for. Stories are really, really powerful. I can give you a statement like Jeremy went to the hospital. From that statement, you will not understand why I went to the hospital, how I went to the hospital, right? But if I told you a story like it was a Monday morning and Jeremy took the bus and went to the hospital because he works at the hospital. From that short story, you can understand, oh, that's why Jeremy went to the hospital. And the same way, in order for us to understand where does our creativity comes from and how are we so able, so intelligent, so capable to make these good things? Why are we stunned by beauty? Why are we attracted by beautiful things? In order for us to understand that, God provided to us a story. The story of the Bible that is inspired by Himself gives us a context and help us understand what is the origin of who we are and what is the origin of our creativity. And so that was the passage that we read this morning. And the passage, like every good story, this story starts with a beginning, and it's the book of Genesis. And from the very beginning, the story of God introduces us to its main characters, which is who are God and us as human being. And the story starts by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So the story starts with introducing to us God Himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. There's something powerful that is happening here. This second verse of Genesis chapter 1 says that the earth was without form and void. So in other words, there was chaos. I mean, it was disorder all over. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so God is introduced to us not only as a creator, but we also see something more deep. We see the holiness of God that is revealed in the work of creation. How is the holiness of God revealed in the work of creation? We see that God, in the next passage, says, "Let there be light." And then He goes on and starts creating this perfect world. And so we understand that from the very beginning, this perfect God bring order out of chaos. He creates something that is beautiful. He creates something that is orderly done, right? It's not something that is made, it's not something that is chaotic, but out of that chaos that the earth had, God creates something that is orderly. He creates something that is beautiful. And when he looks at what he's creating, he takes time to evaluate it. And his only conclusion is that it was good. And so we see the holiness of God in the work of creation. How is that? Because this God who is perfect can only create perfect things. The holiness of God is his perfection, is his beauty, right? Is his ability to create things that are beautiful, that are good. And when he looks at what he's creating, when he evaluates it, he says, it is good. And so this is where we see the holiness of this God. We see that this is a God that is set apart. He can't come and dwell into a world that is full of chaos. No, he has to come and bring in some order before he dwells in it, because he is a perfect God. And so a perfect God can only create perfect things. And we can see that pattern repeating itself over and over again at every step of the creative work. Because after he created the earth, the sea, the land, the animals, at every step he was evaluating and he was saying, wow, this is really beautiful. Why? Because it's a reflection of who he is. It's a reflection of his goodness. It's a reflection of his perfection. It's a reflection of his holiness. So we see the holiness of God in the work of creation. Another thing that we can see is that when God created this beautiful world, he has something else in mind. He had something else in mind. And we can see the love of God expressed in the work of creation. When God created the world, he had us, you and I, in his mind. Compared with his other works, man was of a greater value. In fact, all other works of creation were made to provide unto us a perfect home. So we see the provision of God. We see the generosity of God. He's creating a beautiful world, not just for the sake of creating a beautiful world, so that he can maybe brag, hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, come and see what I made. No, it's not because of that. He created the world with us in mind. We can see the love of God expressed in the work of creation. In other words, God's love is expressed from the very beginning through how he's creating a space or an environment where life can happen. God is creating a space, an environment where human life can flourish. And we can see how his love is being expressed in this work of creation. So a gracious provision for what was about to come on the scene. It's just like a husband and a wife who are expecting a kid, a new child. It's how they prepare for the arrival of this new child. You know, they buy a cradle, they buy so many other things. And in more wealthy family, what they do is that they prepare even a special room for that child. And so it's all these things are acts of love. And it's the same way God was also working in this story of creation. He's preparing a place where human life can flourish, because humanity is really the pinnacle of God's creation. Something special was about to come on the scene. The masterpiece of God's creation was about to come on the scene. And God, through all these steps of creating the earth, separating the seas from the land, bringing in the animals and the fish and all that, he was preparing a space where the life of this human being can really flourish. The life of this human being can really bloom, and so that they can rejoice in the generosity of this good God. So this is the love of God expressed in the work of creation. And then we see something else in this passage, is that God, when he created man, he says, and see, I have given you every herb that yields the seed, verse 28, sorry. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so God, after he created the human being, after he has created a space for their life to flourish, he also gives them dominion over everything that he created. And the question we may ask, why did God create man to rule with him over the rest of creation? He could have just done it by itself. I mean, he is the creator of everything. He could have just ruled by himself. One of the answers, it's still in the nature of the love of God that he did that. A great scholar of the New Testament called William Hendrickson said, it is the very nature of love to overflow. You can't keep love for yourself. Love cannot be expressed in isolation. Love is a communal activity. It's done in engagement with other people. And so we see here the love of God overflowing toward human being. And so it is really out of love that God called human to rule with him over the rest of creation. And so just like children inherit traits from their parents, we were created to be a reflection of God's glory on the earth, to relate with him, to rule with him over the rest of creation. And so it says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And so it's not really a physical resemblance, it's a resemblance in intelligence. Of all other creation, of all other creature, we were the only one made to have this ability to relate with God, to have this special relationship with God. It's a resemblance in righteousness and holiness, because when God evaluated his work at the end of the sixth day, he said it was very good. So the rest of creation, including man, when God looked at everything that he had created, he said it was very good. So human beings were created perfect in the likeness of God, in righteousness and holiness. It's also, we are in the image of God because we also have this ability to have a social life. The ability to have a social life. As we can see, the difference between the creation of man and the creation of all other things. Here in this verse it says, let us. So it seems like man was created out of the divine counsel, where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came together to decide, let us create man in our own image. And so that's why deep within us, we have this desire to connect with other people, to relate with other people. It's the image of God within us. And so our purpose is to rule over or to care for what God created, fueled by his love and motivated by his holiness. So we are called to reflect more of God's love and holiness. That must be our aim in the fulfillment of this mandate. When God says, we shall have dominion, we shall subdue the earth, some people call it the cultural mandate. It means that we are called to rule with God's love and pursuing his holiness. We are called to show more of God's holiness, of God's perfection, when we are ruling over the earth, over the rest of creation. And how can we do this today? How can we reflect the love of God and his holiness in creation today? We can do this through our words. That's the first thing. That's the first way we can reflect God's holiness and love in creation, through our word. We can see that God, when he created by the power of his word. And so we might ask, how come? Not how come, but we can see that even our own words have power. They have power to bring harmony, to create space for life, or the contrary. Our words have power to unite or to divide. Our words have power to break a heart or to mend it. Our words have power to encourage or to discourage. And even Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So we can reflect God's holiness and love in creation through our words. Speaking God that bring life, word of encouragement, word of inspiration, word of motivation, we can reflect God's creative power that way, through our words. Words that bring life wherever we find ourselves. Words that motivate people to be better, to do better. We can also reflect God's holiness and love in creation through our work. Our work. God said in Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Work is not the consequence of the fall. We can see that the mandate to work, to subdue the earth, was way before the fall happened. And so when we look at what we are doing, wherever God has placed us in position of responsibility, when we look at it, can we look at it and evaluate it and conclude that it is good? Because the way we work, the way we deliver that report, the way we do whatever it is that God has entrusted us with, is a reflection of his image, of his creative image in us, is a reflection of his holiness, of his love in us. So we are called to reflect God even in our work. And when we look at our work, can we say that it is good after we have evaluated it? The last way, the third thing that we can see, that we can reflect God's holiness and love in creation through the way we walk, through our walk. The English language is very interesting because walk can also be defined, to walk can also be defined as our pursuit in life, our behavior, our vision for life, our aspirations, the way we carry ourselves. Is it a reflection of the love and holiness of God in creation in us? What is our vision? What are our aspirations? Are we aspiring to being more of God's creative life in this world? Because our vision also has to be aligned with the mandate that God gave us. The mandate to do what? To bring order wherever we are and to create space for life, for human life to flourish. Amen? And so we need to pursue creating healthy communities. We need to pursue to bring solution to some of the problems that we may find in this world. And I can tell you that it doesn't take talent or a great amount of skill to be co-creator with God even today. The only thing that it takes, the only thing that it requires, it's really a love for God, a love for people, a love for his creation, and the pursuit of holiness. There, I was reading a very interesting book, and it was saying that everyone is creative. Some have artistic talent, but we are all creative. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. We have deep within us that ability to create space for life. The way you decorate your house, the way you do your work, the way you do anything is an expression of the creativity that God has placed in you. So it doesn't take skills, a lot of skills. It doesn't take talent. It only takes us tapping into the power that God created us with, which is the power to create out of love and out of seeking after his perfection, which is the pursuit of holiness. And so we may ask, well, how can we do this? Because one chapter after this, there is a fall. Satan comes into the scene and mess up the beautiful world that God created. Ephesians 1:4 says that in Christ, God chose us before the foundation of the world to present us holy and blameless before himself. And so way before Satan came into the scene, God had already chosen us to be presented holy and blameless before himself, and that is in Christ. So the only thing we need to do is to trust and to believe in the finished work of Christ so that we can step out and live out the calling that God has over us, which is to bring more of His holiness, which is to bring more of His life into this world. Nothing really stands between us and our destiny. Why? Because we were created. We were chosen way before the creation of the world to be presented holy and blessed and blameless before God. And so my prayer this morning is that we may walk out again out of this house confident in our calling to bring human flourishing, to bring God life, to bring order wherever we are, because that's the foot. That's the footprint of God. That's the fingerprint of God within us. That's the reflection of the image of God within us. And we can only do this fueled by His love and in pursuit of His holiness. May God bless His word.